Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome back the president of the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters, Phil Cox.
In the interest of time, we will proceed with our program. It is a pleasure to introduce our guest speaker for our luncheon today. Under the results-driven common sense leadership of Governor Bill Haslam, Tennessee is now recognized as a national leader in education, job creation, and fiscal responsibility. His commitment to education is making a difference in the state. Tennessee is the fastest improving state in the country in academic achievement and has made the Tennessee promise to give every graduating high school senior a chance to earn a certificate or degree beyond high school free of charge. Governor Haslam has focused on making Tennessee the number one location in the Southeast for high quality jobs, and Tennessee currently holds the title of State of the Year for economic development. Working with the General Assembly, he has balanced the budget every year, kept taxes low, ensured Tennessee has the lowest debt in the country, and nearly doubled the state's savings account. Thanks to the governor's work to make state government more customer-focused, efficient, and effective, Tennessee is ranked third best managed in the nation. He and wonderful First Lady Chrissy have three grown children and four grandchildren. Please join me in a warm TAB welcome for the Honorable Governor of the great state of Tennessee, Bill Haslam.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you. Thank you very much. Please have a seat. Thank you. Well, I should just say I'm Bill Haslam. I approve that message. Y'all have a good day. I won't let you out that quick. Hey, it is really good to be here. Thank you. Impressive crowd, and it's fun to look around and see some friends from across the state. Thank you for being here. Hopefully the meeting is gone really well. Some of you have been here and heard me tell this story, but I can't ever walk in this room without remembering one of the funnier things that happened to me since I've been governor. It was about 3 weeks after I'd been sworn in, almost 4 years ago, and General Max Haston, who's the Adjutant General of the Tennessee National Guard, had called me about a week after the election and said, Governor, next, or 2 weeks from Saturday, I need you to be at the Embassy Suites Hotel in Murfreesboro. They're having the annual meeting of the Tennessee National Guard. So we'll have all the Army Guard, all the Air Guard, all the men and women from across the state. And I said, General, you know, that's my daughter's coming in town that Saturday. She's bringing all of her, she was in college time, she's bringing all of her college roommates, and I can't come that day. He got kind of quiet and he said, the governor always comes to this meeting. I thought, well, all right, I'll figure it out. So kind of rearranged with my daughter and came down here that Saturday morning, and I kind of came with a little bit of a bad attitude, if you know the truth, because I'd been through a two-year campaign and we'd worked really hard to get ready to be sworn into office. We'd been working about 2 weeks. Like I said, my daughter was in town. It was like the first day I was going to take off in a long, long time. And anyway, so I came here because General had said every governor comes to the meeting of the guard. And I was waiting backstage, or back behind the room, and these walls both go out. And so these walls are both down, and it's like, imagine this room times three. And imagine not tables, but just row and row of chairs, all filled with the men and women of the Tennessee Guard. Everyone at the end of the row that has their battalion flag flying, that has all the different battles that troop has fought in since the Tennessee Guard was started. It's an incredibly impressive sight. And I'm standing at the back of the room, and looking at everyone, the back of everyone's heads, and I don't know, there's 1,500, 2,000 people there. And so then finally I hear this sergeant has come to get me, and he said, come with me, Governor. And he says, you stand right here. And so I'm standing right beside him, and I hear this voice come over the loudspeaker that says, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Commander-in-Chief for the Tennessee National Guard. And all of a sudden the band starts playing, everybody stands up and salutes, and I'm kind of thinking, well, this is cool. And the sergeant elbows me and goes, "Hey, buddy, that's you." There's a learning curve to every job, I can assure you. And I never, ever walk in this room without thinking of that, "Hey, buddy, that's you. Let's go." Really here today for a couple reasons. One, I always want to have a chance to update on the things that we're working on. But secondly, to thank you. You know, we have a kind of, I was thinking about with this group, we actually have a unique relationship. A lot of you cover us and what we do, and so you you play the appropriate media role of reporting on the actions of state government. But you're also our partners frequently in helping get out very important messages. And I really appreciate the role that you've played there. And historically, I can think of a lot of times when, you know, everything from the flood in Middle Tennessee 4 years ago to several other situations where you all have played the critical role in helping us get a very important message out to citizens. And because of that, I had a chance to sign a bill this year that allows broadcast engineers access to studio and transmitter sites affected by an emergency in order to restore or repair equipment that's critical for broadcasting important public information. We're glad the General Assembly passed this bill, and there's a picture of us signing that here several months ago. But I wanted to acknowledge that I think that was a good and important piece of legislation, mainly because of the work that you all do in assisting us with getting. I will clap for you all because getting a bill passed through the legislature is a piece of cake, and you know, particularly something like this, it sounds like it's all good news, but it is never a piece of cake, I assure you. And so congratulations on getting that done. But I'm here today to ask for your help in getting some more information out. Now, it might not be an emergency nature like a flood or some other situation like that, but it is definitely a critically important situation for the state of Tennessee. And that's the information around the Tennessee Promise, and I very much appreciate the kind introduction. But if I look at some of the big issues and opportunities facing our state right now, a Tennessee Promise is right at the center of them. About 2.5 years ago, I decided to go around the state and talk to businesses, small and large, East, Middle West, all retail, manufacturing, hospitality, you name it, all different types of businesses to say, what is it that is important to you for the future of your business that you maybe are concerned about that the state can address? Obviously, there's a lot of concerns a business would have that we can't help, but what are the things that you're concerned about that we can address? And the feedback was really consistent. We're concerned about the quality and the depth of our workforce in Tennessee. And I heard that again from all different types of businesses. And it was expressed something like this. We love being in Tennessee. We actually intend to grow here, and we think we can grow here. But we're not going to grow here unless we know that we can get the workforce that we need here. And if we can't, we will go somewhere else. So we started digging down deeper and we started doing some research, and we found that of the jobs that will exist in Tennessee just 11 years from now, 10 and a half years from now, in 2025, that 55% of those jobs, 55%, will require either a technology school certificate, a 2-year degree, or a 4-year degree. Like, okay, well, 55%, that doesn't sound so bad. You can probably look around your table and say, I think 3/4 of our table has a certificate or degree. Unfortunately, that's not true in Tennessee at large. In Tennessee, of our adults over the age of 25, only 32% have either a degree or certificate. So think about that for a second. If 55% are going to require a degree or certificate, and we only have 32%, what's that mean 10 years from now? It means a lot of jobs are going to go somewhere else. And a lot of Tennesseans who want a job are not going to find one. I know a lot of you all represent rural communities around the state, and what I hear the most from rural communities, which is a fair complaint, is we don't feel like we're getting our share of the new jobs. We don't feel like we're thrilled to see all these new announcements that, you know, Volkswagen's going to do this and add this jobs, and you know, Nissan's doing this, all this, but we don't feel like they're coming to the rural areas, some of you say, well, they're not coming to our kind of the hearts of our urban areas. We understand the challenge, and so I'm asking you to join us in this. If we're going to attract those jobs everywhere across the state, and not just to the hot, booming regions of the state, then we have to do a better job of making certain our workforce is prepared. And we know for a fact that what that means is a lot more of our citizens are going to have 2-year degrees or 4-year degrees or certificates than they have now. Now, every time I start talking about this, I almost see these hands don't go up because they're too polite, but I see all these folks going, whoa, 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 college isn't for everyone. And it's not. But it has to be for a lot, and I emphasize a lot more Tennesseans than it's been for in the past, or we're going to have a major problem 10 short years or 5 years from that. To speed up the what I'm calling the drive to 55. It's the effort to have 55% of our population have a degree or certificate by 2025. Remember, as I talk about this, that isn't just numbers and statistics. That isn't a great slogan to put on the wall and then to say, well, I wonder how we're doing. Those are real lives of real people that if we don't do something different than what we're doing right now, don't have a chance at a job in the future. So the drive to 55 is, like I said, is a critical part of what we're doing in the state. We started looking around the state and said, well, what's stopping us? What's stopping us from getting where we are now to there? A lot of things are. Some of it is a culture that says, nobody in my family's ever been to school beyond high school. I don't need to do that. Some of it is a lack of understanding about the challenge what the world's going to look like 10 years from now. But undoubtedly, a big part of the issue is folks who go, I just can't afford that. I've seen what's happened to higher ed tuition. My family can't afford that. Like I said, nobody in my family's ever been. The whole idea of going to school beyond high school is foreign to me, and I have no idea how we'd pay for it. That's why this year we launched the promise to every high school student, if you graduate high school, we'll pay for 2 years of community college or for technology school free. Also included in that was a piece that hasn't gotten a lot of discussion. It allows folks who maybe in the past, the Hope Scholarship is how we fund a lot of lottery scholarships to our community colleges and four-year schools. The equivalent of that in our technology schools is what's called Wilder-Nafee Scholarships. Those in the past, if you went, let's just say you started a 2-year school or 4-year school and you didn't do so well, whatever happened, either you weren't great at whatever subject you chose or life happened and you had a parent die or you had a family situation, whatever it is, and you dropped out of school, in the past, you couldn't qualify for that Wilder-Nafee scholarship to go back to technology school. The state's attitude was kind of like, you had your chance, you got a Hope Scholarship, you lost it, we're not going to give you a scholarship to go to TCATS. We've changed that because we realize that for us to get to the numbers that we need to, a lot of folks are going to need second chances. And a lot of people who are 35 years old and single mothers of two and working 40 hours a week need to have a different plan. And so part of our drive to 55 and part of the Tennessee Promise is not just for those high school seniors, but for those folks who have been in school, it didn't work, and a chance to go back to one of our Tennessee Colleges of Applied Technology. This is a bold promise that Tennessee's making. I want to be really clear. We're the only state that is making this kind of promise to its citizens. And I honestly think it can do more to help our business recruitment than anything else. Somebody from our economic development department was at a conference of economic development officials from all over the country, and the guy who runs economic development from Virginia got up and said, if you want to watch what happens to a state, watch what happens to Tennessee, because now they're opening up school beyond high school to everybody, and they're going to be prepared for the workforce, and I honestly believe that. But to make it work, we can't just have the promise. People have to actually know about it. And one of the things that discourages me as a public official, and probably you as well, is that we can work really hard, something's getting a ton of attention around the Capitol, and then I'll go out where normal people live in Tennessee, and nobody's heard anything. I see Representative Johnny Shaw here, and he's in Commissioner Whitaker, and they're kind of nodding their head like, yeah, it's like, we think everybody's paying attention to what we're paying attention to, but that's not necessarily true. So what I would like for you to do is to help us get the word out about the Tennessee Promise. It really is, I think, a unique opportunity for us to pass that on. Here's how it works. This year's high school seniors are going to be the first class ever to be eligible. But they have to apply by November 1st. And so you're going to see me and hear a lot of me in the next couple of weeks as I'm out around the state, hopefully getting this message out to citizens in all parts of the state that this is great, the Tennessee Promise is wonderful, but you have to apply by November 1st if you're a senior in high school this year. So I'm going to start that next Monday, getting that message out. There's another piece of this that I hope you'll help me get the message out. A lot of people go, well, that's great. Okay, you tell somebody they can go to community college 2 years free, but how do we know that they'll succeed when we get there? We've actually modeled this program after a program that was started back in Knoxville when I was mayor called Knox Achieves. It's now called Tennessee Achieves. So we've actually been doing this for 6 or 7 years, and we've seen dramatic improvements in the number of kids who go into school and the number of kids who actually finish and get a degree. One of the key elements to this program is our network of mentors that we've set up. High school students, it's no secret, every statistic you see will show this. If they have a caring adult in their life, they will do better at everything. Education results, health results, they're more likely to postpone getting pregnant, they're much less likely to be involved in crime. And we have we're in the process of setting up through Tennessee Achieves a network of mentors all across the state who will really volunteer to do one very simple thing. Work with 5 students and helping them as they apply to be a part of the Tennessee Promise. That means helping them as they fill out their financial aid forms, and we have a lot of folks who can help you if you say, I'm not good at filling out forms. It's really just being the caring, responsible adult in a high school senior's lives in 5 of them. Helping them when the ACT test comes around to say, hey, remember, it's tomorrow morning. You have to show up tomorrow morning. If nobody in your family's ever been to college, you might not be aware of the fact that when they give that ACT test, they're not going to give it again the next day. You've got to go that day. And so that sort of thing, it's not a heavy requirement. It's 10 to 15 hours annually, probably. It's not a big requirement, but it makes a huge difference. And so, first, I'd love for people in this room to consider being a mentor. Second, I'd love for you to help us get that message out about mentors. And this is a great way for folks in your community to serve in a way that makes a big difference, but yet is not an overbearing amount of work. So again, we're going to start, the deadline to apply is November 1st. You're going to see me out around the state here a lot between now and then, talking about the Tennessee Promise and why it's so important. I would love to have your help in getting that message out about the November 1st deadline and about the opportunity to have mentors who can, again, for not a whole lot of work, can play a big role in 5 different students' lives. Lots of my friends have done this. My sons did it last year, and it was always fun for me to hear him talk about when he came back about, hey, I just met with 2 of my kids, and here's what they're doing now. It's an incredibly rewarding thing to do. So if you would help me get that message out, I am very, very appreciative of the role that you play, and I don't just say that lightly. It's frustrating at times for those of us in public office that know about a lot of critical issues and then realize that it's how hard it is to get that message out, and the role that you can play in that for our state is very, very important. In that spirit, Susan Whitaker, who's our Commissioner of Tourism, Tourist Development, I'm always saying tourism, but it actually is a better, Tourist Development, is here to share information with you regarding a new marketing campaign that we're working on as a state. And I'm going to let Susan come up, but I'm going to hold her for a second. It always helps for people to know the bigger picture of what we're doing. We love selling Tennessee to tourists for 3 reasons. One, we just happen to think it's the best, most beautiful, most enjoyable state of all 50. So that's number one. Number two, it means jobs for Tennesseans. Tourism is really one of our top 2 or 3 industries in terms of creating jobs. And as we talk about jobs of all different types, understand that tourism is what helps and drives a piece of our economy. But there's a third reason beyond showing off our state, creating jobs, and that's this. Tennessee, as you all know, is a sales tax state. We don't have an income tax in Tennessee. I personally think that's a good thing. But if we're going to be a sales tax state, we better generate a lot of sales tax to pay for all the critical issues of state government. One of the best ways we can do that is through tourism. because folks are coming in, they're stopping with us for a while, and then they're moving on. We're not having to provide a lot of infrastructure, whether it be educational systems or sewer and water systems or other things. In the meantime, they're spending their hard-earned dollars in Tennessee. So what that means is the state government gets 7% collection on that, and your local government gets anywhere from 2.25% to 2.5%. That drives everything that we're trying to do. So as we work to make education improvements, I'm thrilled that we're the fastest improving state in the country in education results. But to do that, we want to make certain that we pay our teachers fairly. To do that, we have to bring in sales tax revenue. So Susan's mission is bigger than just showing off Tennessee. It's even bigger than creating more jobs. It really helps fund everything else we do in state government, from educate four-year-olds, to educate PhD students, to help families that have mental health issues, to help families that we need to protect from dangerous situations, and on and on. Because of that, I would appreciate it if you would help me welcome Susan Whitaker as she talks about an important new initiative of the Department of Tourist Development. Commissioner Whitaker.
Well, I think this is a first. I actually got introduced by the governor. That's pretty cool. We are so excited to be reestablishing our partnership with the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters. And so some of you have already seen a couple of the new spots from our new campaign. I'm going to show you a couple even newer ones today. But Governor just hit it. Everything I would have told you, he's already told you. It's big business. Tourism is driving economic impact into rural communities as well as large metro areas. It's creating the dollars to do all those essential services that are important to me as a grandma that's got two kids that are in the Williamson County Public Schools. And all of those things matter to each one of us in here. It doesn't matter what kind of job that you're holding, we have people that we care about. And state government, as he has often said, can't do everything, but it can do some things really well. And it can create infrastructure that people can plug into, and it takes their efforts up a notch. In tourism, it's the same thing. And we have wonderful industries, just leaders, people that are known on a national level. We have them over at Dollywood, obviously, in Bristol Motor Speedway. We've got it in Nashville, just going crazy with tourism. Memphis, so many different places. Jack Daniel, just wonderful. There are brands out there that are doing incredible amounts of good for the entire state. But they all have very unique brands. Memphis as a vacation destination, very different brand than a Nashville vacation, very different brand than a Smoky Mountain vacation. That's that picture postcard image that comes up in your mind when you hear it. So if you've got those three brands out there, and there are others that have really started to establish themselves, you don't want to dilute the brand with some new thing that you're doing at the state level that takes and kind of reduces the impact they're having. You need to create something that's going to lift all of their brands. So we have had a wonderful opportunity in the last year to put together a new campaign, and it's based on the whole idea that there are certain experiences, the music, there's certain things that can only be made in Tennessee. And so that was the idea behind the campaign that we now have out there that we're partnering with you on, and I thank you so much. I know some of you have already started running these spots, and that's awesome. But the governor, he gave us kind of a mandate a few years ago. He had told the industry, if you can come around the table, put together a strategic plan where all of you have skin in the game and you've all bought into a new brand, and if you then come together, after you put the strategic plan together, and you're willing to invest some of your own dollars in cooperative programs, I will double down on tourism and I will help you. Actually, last year got us an additional $8 million, this year $4 million, in a very, very tough economic situation. And we were also, the General Assembly was wonderful in saying, yes, we believe tourism can give us a great return on investment. But those dollars are to go out to new markets that you haven't been in before, take this message, this brand, to new places, long-haul destinations that will stay longer. When they stay longer, they spend more money, and they're smiling at you when they're doing it. And then those dollars go right into the community. So that's been our mandate. We've taken it up. I think, Governor, you've been pretty pleased with the results that this tourism committee has come up with. Industry leaders, as I said, from across the state. They helped select the new agency that we have in place right now. The campaign is fantastic. So let me just show you a couple of those spots right now And there's tons of things. We want to be the global music destination of choice. That's the vision statement that we have. Global music destination of choice for all types of music and at the crossroads of scenic beauty and history. So there's several touch points in there that we now have to get across in this campaign. And I think you'll see that some of this got in there in a very nice way. We've already had articles in the New York Times and on Rolling Stone magazine talking about this campaign, saying what a great one it is. So if we'll lower the lights a little bit and start out with music and then go to the experience one.
The foot tapping, head bobbing, soul saving kind. Country, blues, rock, and everything in between. Where it all started and never stopped. Heard on stages, porches, and street corners. You can't download it. You can only experience it. The soundtrack of America, Maine, and Tennessee. Start planning at tnvacation.com.
We want the folks in Tennessee to really know, and I think when we've shown this, I've shown this at various Rotary clubs and other chambers of commerce, and it just makes you proud to be in Tennessee. And even though I have this nasal Chicago accent, I got here as fast as I could. I love this state, and I think we've got, as you said, Governor, we've got a lot to be proud of, and let's use it to make some money. That's my thing. Okay, thank you.